TV.
You know, some people are just going to continue to be sensitive, to be touchy about this topic of sex. Whenever you talk about lust or pornography, people immediately have a visceral reaction because they've been damaged. And I am guessing, and it's not a stretch to say that the damage has come from Christianity, Christianity's obsession over sex. And somebody might say, no, that's not true. I had an uncle who abused me, or I had a father who took advantage of me as a child, and to which I am heartfeltedly sorry for anyone who has endured that. But I would counter that whoever abused you, and I'm basically speaking to women here, but not exclusively, that person became a sexual pervert because of the stance of religion, because of growing up in a church, being confronted with the hypocrisy God, the God of eternal torment, with a God who hated all pleasure, Baal Peor, leftover, the hangover, the hang-ups, the sexual hang-ups via Baal Peor and the obsession with fighting sex, with putting unlawful restrictions on the flesh, restrictions that not even God puts into the law of Moses. And because of these artificial restrictions, because of squelching human nature, this is what religion does. Religion pushes down and inhibits, puts in a box and locks it, human nature. Then the human is likely to blow and to rebel. And when you add to that, that the God who's locking you in this box in your own mind is an eternal tormentor, and who is just waiting for you to screw up, at which time he will grab you and cast you into the pit of the Christian hell. And this that has turned normal people into sexual perverts. The Baptist Church has turned normal people into sexual perverts. The Catholic Church has turned normal people into sexual perverts. The Pentecostal Church has turned normal people into sexual perverts. Summer Bible School has turned normal people into sexual perverts. The laws made up by Christian religion has turned normal people into sexual perverts. And these are the people who abuse you. Or these are the people who have caused you to just hear the word sex, or just hear the word woman, or desire, or lust, or anything associated with that world, and causing you to experience a visceral reaction that would condemn any discussion of it. So I don't stand a chance of explaining it to these kinds of people. The majority of my audience get it, but I have a heart for those who just plug their ears and say, I don't want to hear it. Shut up, Zender. Move on. I get it. You're hurt. You've been hurt. You don't care what God has to say about it. You literally don't care what God has to say about it. You're disgusted. You're fed up. It sounds horrible to you. It's the devil's workshop. Someone just said that on yesterday's show in the comments. That pornography, which is merely images or writing designed to titillate the sexual senses, to bring pleasure to people sexually, that is the road to demonic destruction, that it is the ultimate evil, that it will lead to bondage. It is produced by Satanists, and it leads only to the most hideous corruption. And I would say, if you just take the word pornographic out of there and put church, then all that is true. It is the church that does all of that. And it is the church that is responsible for making what God created to be enjoyed and what God created and called good to turn that into a perversion. And everybody has their own standard of what perversion is. If you want to know what God thinks perversion is, it's an easy question to answer. Look in Leviticus chapter 20. That's all you got to do. Try to find anything in there about dirty pictures. Try to find anything in there about X-rated movies. Try to find anything in there about polygamy. Try to find anything in there about premarital sex. All the things that Christians are, that I should say, religious people freak out over, are, as I've been saying the last 2 days, additions to. It is a religion that has added additions to God's law. And besides that, we're not even under God's law. But I am telling you that I would rather be under the law of Moses any day than to be under the law of Christianity. Any day. Oh my God, I've studied it. And if you haven't, then you got nothing to bring to the table in this discussion. I would rather be under the law of Moses, much more liberal in many departments, but especially the sexual department. Much more liberal, much more understanding, much more accommodating to human nature. Why wouldn't it be? It was written by God. Who understands human nature more than God? And yet, it is the religion of Christianity that has squelched human nature, made human nature to be evil. Separated God from human nature so that your natural desires are wrong. Oh, you can't follow your natural inclination. It's evil. And so they call what is evil good and they call what is good evil, as I've been pointing out. Let me finish up the week by finishing up some of the writing I have done on this topic. Just to come full circle, then we'll move on to another topic on Monday, to the great relief of some of you, I know. If you remember, I was reading to you an excerpt from my ZWTF Volume 2, Issue 11, called The New Circumcisionists. This is the new bondage that religious people will force on free people. Free people who can enjoy sexual titillation and not go crazy over it. Let me just reread what I read before and then move on, because it's so good. I love to read my own writing. In the old days, the circumcisionists hated and therefore combated the Apostle Paul's message of pure grace. The circumcisionists said grace was not enough to save a person. One had to add law. The circumcisionists wanted to boast in flesh. This was their bottom line. We must look behind the ritual they promoted to see what animated these ultimately selfish people. A piece of pie for humanity to eat. In other words, the flesh wanted to boast in spiritual attainments, or what it assumed to be spiritual attainments, at the same time condemning others for not performing. That is, not performing to their particular standards. And of course, in most cases, their particular standards are higher than God's standards. If only God had inquired of them as to which sexual misadventures he should add to the list of Leviticus chapter 20. And I quoted this verse earlier this week, Galatians 6, 12 and 13. Whoever are wanting you to put on a fair face in the flesh, these are compelling you to circumcise. Back then it was circumcision. Now they're compelling you to follow their hang-ups. The religious world, the Christian world, the sexual stuck-ups of Christianity. They want you to follow their hang-ups. Their hang-ups are the new standard. Their hang-ups are the new circumcision. This is what you must do to be right with God. Otherwise, we are terribly disappointed in you. Only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Jesus Christ, for not even they who are circumcising are maintaining law. But they want you to be circumcised. Why do they want you to be circumcised? That they should be boasting in that flesh of yours. Today, that was the quote. Now back to my writing. Today, the circumcisionists are reborn. The difference is that they are not promoting a rite performed upon the male member. It's still all about the meal, remember, just not about snipping the end of it. Rather, it's about controlling it to whatever degree the new circumcisionists deem appropriate. Next section. Our culture is prejudiced against sex. Because of our religious roots, most people in this country consider sex dirty. It's a three-letter word. They won't admit to the prejudice, but their anger over perceived sexual licentiousness in others and their inability to speak directly upon the topic without laughing, blushing, avoiding eye contact, or nervously scratching the backs of their necks gives them away. Sex embarrasses them. This is new territory now. Sex embarrasses them. If a religious person of the first century wished to discredit or destroy someone, non-compliance with the premier Jewish rite, that is circumcision, became the persecution of choice. You're not circumcised? Then you're not right with God. You're not complete. Confess your sin. Admit it to the presbyter. Step down from the ministry. It's a different day now. If you want to destroy someone's reputation in this new and enlightened era, please note the air quotes, new and enlightened era, simply drum up an allegation having to do with sex. Politicians are exceptionally adept at this. Religious folks lurk closely behind. It needn't be more than an allegation. Facts are optional. Merely plant the idea into someone's head of sexual impropriety, and the shadow is already cast. The Western mind is so squeamish and prejudiced against sex that one is presumed guilty until proven innocent. In the arena of sexual behavior, there must be over 1,000 ways to offend God. No, not really. Actually, there are only about 14 ways to offend God. And if you would like to read these 14 prohibitions, I'm not going to read them here. I want to move on to my next newsletter, some choice, juicy quotes from it. But I will link this ZWTF edition down here under Show More. Hit the tab. You will find ZWTF Volume 2, Issue 11. If you can't find it there for some reason, go to martinzender.com. Look on the left, all the features of that amazing website set up by my sister, Kelly. Click on ZWTF and then scroll down to Volume 2, Issue 11, The New Circumcisionists. So insightful. I don't mind saying so. In a subsequent article from, this is Volume 2, Issue 13, published Saturday, August 3rd, 2013. This article is called Satan's Latest Diversionary Tactic. Now, I have gone through all this with you, but I want to read it, and I have some quotes in here from A. Enoch concerning idolatry. I think this will be helpful. I may decide to continue this on Monday only. I don't know, depending on your comments and what you think of the following. We moderns have little idea how prevalent idolatry was in all their ancient societies besides Israel. So critical was it to God that the very first commandment given his chosen people warns against it. Exodus 20 verses 1 through 3. You know this. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Idolatry. God hates it. Dr. Bullinger, E.W. Bullinger, has recognized above most commentators how scriptural references to such things as lewdness, these are words that the new circumcisionists go crazy over. Now listen, this is so informative. I want everyone to get this. This is from Bullinger. Bullinger knows, A. Enoch knows, I know, and now you know. Dr. Bullinger has recognized above most commentators how scriptural references to such things as lewdness, prostitutions, harlotry, abomination, go a-whoring after, and quote, strange women have chiefly to, these are all scriptural phrases, have chiefly to do with the worship of false deities, rather than, as commonly supposed, sex with females, or what we moderns consider to be pornography. Nothing to do with pornography. And again, I challenge you to go to Leviticus chapter 20 and find anything there about images or writing designed to titillate the sexual senses. You will not find anything about it. Well, Martin, that's because it didn't exist. Oh, come on. Of course it existed. Not in film, not in photographs, but certainly in drawings and writings, plays, you name it. Satan's chosen means to approach these rival gods was via sexual intercourse. Not many people know this. Why? For the same reason attractive women sell everything today, from car insurance to coffee filters. The promoters of the false gods therefore installed their cult prostitutes, or kadesha, that is the Hebrew word. And 2 days ago or 3 days ago, I distinguished for you the Hebrew word kadesha from zona. A kadesha was a cult prostitute. A zona was a common run-of-the-mill woman you paid to have sex with, which was not prohibited in the law of Moses. Try to find it in Leviticus chapter 20. Thank you very much. Not saying it was a great thing to do, just saying it wasn't punished in the law of Moses. The promoters of the false gods therefore installed their cult prostitutes, or kadesha, in the deities' respective temples or on the high places. The high places in Israel, that was where cult prostitution took place, because the promoters of the false deity, in the case of the Moabites, their false deity was Baal Peor. They took the Israelites to the high places. That was where they worshiped their God. The high place in Moab was Peor, and that is where the Israelites committed the terrible offense of idolatry by mating, having sex with, engaging in sexual intercourse with cult prostitutes for the sole purpose of uniting them, and the stated purpose of uniting them with the false god Baal Peor. The promoters of the false gods installed their cult prostitutes, or kadesha, in the deities' respective temples or on the high places, that is, the top mountains. By engaging with these prostitutes, engaging being a euphemism for sexual intercourse, a man allied himself with the worship of the particular temple deity. The worship of false deities was to God the most detestable of all sins. In Numbers chapter 25, God ordered 23,000 Israelites to be hung or lowered onto sharpened stakes for prostituting cultically with Baal Peor. And this is the event Paul references in 1 Corinthians 10:8. To God, this was a matter of idolatry, not social morality. Christians make this, let's go back and look at these words. Lewdness, prostitutions, harlotry, abomination, whoring, strange women. Christians make it about social mores. They make it about cultural definitions of sex. But Dr. Bullinger wrote about this, saying that these terms had to do with idolatry. Christians don't know that. To God, this was a matter of idolatry, not social morality. It was a matter of religion, not sex. I would even go further and say it is a matter of idolatry, not sex. You know, I have criticized Clyde Pilkington a lot about certain teachings of his, but I will laud him for other teachings of his that are extremely educational. I broached this topic, quoting my article now, because of the controversy. And there was a controversy back in 2013, probably still is in certain circles, over Clyde's book, Do Benevolence, a survey of biblical sexuality. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, this book by Clyde is an eye-opener. It is a revelation on every page. It is backed up with scripture, scripture, scripture. As you know, I don't just wholesale condemn people's teaching. I take it on an individual basis. I consider it on an individual basis. Okay, this person's right about this, great on this, terrible on this. That's the polite, the reasonable, the logical, the scriptural way to do it. His book, Do Benevolence, A Survey of Biblical Sexuality, is a breakthrough book. It's amazing. Go to studyshelf.com and order it. Many Christians today believe sex to be a gateway drug to the worst immorality earth offers. They all think that. I never forget James Dobson saying that one look at a men's magazine and you will be, you will turn into a serial killer. Many Christians today believe sex to be a gateway drug to the worst immorality earth offers. Thus, even those things the Christians deem legitimate sexual practices reside just below the sin radar of societal acceptance. This is why sex in the Christian world is still a three-letter word, considered at its core to be dirty. But I am persuaded of better things concerning us and concerning you. Look, I really want to finish this. I have to close the show for today. I really want to finish this. I have sections titled False Battlefront, The New Idolatry, A New Delivery Vehicle, As God Made Them, and I'm going to talk about the divine, that's a little joke of mine, the wardrobe malfunction of the Super Bowl, the 2004 Super Bowl, Janet Jackson. I'm going to talk about that and what it says about our culture. I'm going to talk about nudity. I'm going to talk about how one becomes allied with Satan and how women are still leading men astray. Have I made myself clear on this topic so far? If not, I'll do it Monday.